Page Tzadik, Mishnah Yud. In Perek Beis, we're up to Mishnah Yud. Heim Amru Shloisha Devarim. It teams from the previous Mishnah. It talked about the Talmidim of Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai, and they said, Heim Amru Shloisha Devarim, and they said three rules, or three sets of rules. Rabbi Yezer Aymer, Yehi kavayt chavercha chaviv alecha kishalcha o kishalach. Your kavod of your chaver should be chaviv, beloved to you, like your own honor. Now that needs some sort of an explanation. What does it mean? Your chaver's kavod should be chaviv to you, like yours. In other words, you should be careful with his kavod. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner has a pshat in it. If you look on the bottom, actually the second paragraph. I'll go back to the first, after. V'amar yikvayt chavercha chavu alecha kishalach. Ratzalayim, you have kishalcha, kishalach. See, the rule, what is it, lach, what is it, lacha? What it's at a hefsik, so we'll see in a minute, there are two possibilities. Anyway, yikvayt chavercha chavu alecha kishalach. Ratzalayim, kvayt chavercha shana yikbach, yechaviv alecha kishalach, kehakavit sh'ata mechavit oisai. It means the covet of your friend. It doesn't mean the covet of your friend. It means the covet your friend gives you should be as important to you as the covet you give to your friend. It sort of twists around the taich. Kavod chavercha shana yigbach. The honor your friend gives you should be as important as the honor that you give him. That's how he taiches it. Ki amnam ha'adam sheyse kavod l'chaveri af ma'at nechshav ve'enai ki lukib dehar be'yaisim in arai. If you show somebody honor, he's going to respond to it. It's going to be in his eyes as if you were mechabed in much. Va'kavod she'mechabed in oisai nechshav ve'enai pokas min arai. So when somebody honors someone else, in his eyes he measures it. I did him a taiva. I gave him honor. When someone honors you, it's always less than the reality. Someone does something for you, it's always less. Now, I want to explain this because Pashit, it just sounds like people are selfish. So you give someone else honor, so whatever you give him is big in your eyes. And someone else gives you honor, whatever you get is small in your eyes. I guess that's true, but it's more than that. Because all human beings are inherently different. Human beings are different. Human beings have different thoughts and different levels of what's normal and different expectations. Everybody is different. So let's take an example. When you have a disagreement with somebody and he gives in to you, it's not because of selfishness that you think he hasn't given you much. It's because you really think you're right, that what you're doing makes sense. I'll give you an example. Well, let's say you have a couple and they disagree a lot in the house. So they got this idea that it's 50-50. You give in half the time, she gives in half the time. Which of course is only a fiction, nothing to do with the real world, but let's say. So pick a normal household disagreement you can have about how to do something in the house. There's a disagreement over if you should carpet the floor. Okay? Should you carpet the floor? So she grew up in a house where all the floors are hard floors, that's what they like. And you grew up in a house where it's carpeted. But your parents like to carpet it. So you want a carpeted floor. So you get married. And now you have a disagreement. So she gives in. You want the carpet? We'll carpet it. So to her, the one who gave in a lot. Because to her normal point of reference is not to carpet the floor. My husband wants me to carpet it, I'll carpet it. She gives in. To him, he's saying, well, the normal way to do it is carpet. If you put your feet on the floor, it's warm. That's normal. She gave in to me. She gave in to me. She agreed to do it the normal way to do things. That this way we are all the time. Every time we have a disagreement with somebody, except when people do things for spite, but in normal cases when you disagree with another person, you're saying what's common sense to you. The other person is saying what's common sense to the other person. So if the person gives in to you, he's not mechabed me. He just realizes that I'm right. So that's normal. And then when you give it to the other person, you're doing, even though normal is my way, imagine that. I'm giving it to the other person. So it's, what I'm saying is, it has nothing to do with being a selfish person or a bad person. It's the normal rules of the game that in disagreements, it just turns out that way. Every time you have a disagreement, if you want it to be 50-50, you're in trouble. Because when the person gives in to you, you don't feel that the other person's giving in. The person just responding to reason. And that's the normal way of doing things. So this is typical human behavior and interaction between people. And it takes a lot to really to understand it, that's the way it is. It takes a lot to realize that that people are just different. People have different points of references. A young man in the yeshiva once, Shana Rishana boy, comes over to me. He says, "When do you insist? When don't you insist on frumkeit?" I say, "What happened?" He says, "Well, you know, my mother-in-law is making some type of get-together, and my wife insists I take off from Seder, and she's just not mechabed my Sedarim. She has no honor for my Sedarim." So what do you mean she's not mechabed your Sedarim? She's mechabed your Sedarim just as much as you are. So what do you mean she's mechabed just as much as me? She wants I should go to this party, and I wouldn't take off to go to a party. I explained to him, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is being the most important, and 1 is the least important. How important is it to you to stay by Seder? Pick a number. Let's say 7. It's a 7, I don't miss Seder. Right? So, how important is it to go to your mother-in-law's party? A 4. So, a 7 or 4, of course. Now, your wife, you think that, well, since going to the party is a 4, so you think your wife holds your Sedarim are as important as a 3. So you say, she's not mechabed my Sedarim, she holds it's a 3. That's not what happened. She holds your Sedarim are a 7. But she holds going to her mother's party is an 8. So it has nothing to do with an argument over frumkeit. It has to do with an argument over going to mommy's party. And this is really the way we always are. When people disagree, most normal disagreements just have to do with a different point of reference. If you have a different point of reference, so you have a different value system for whatever it is that you're squabbling over, whatever it is you're arguing over. And that's the whole realization. It doesn't require tzidkis. It requires the realizing the truth of the matter, realizing that that's the source of disagreement is generally a different point of reference, a disagreement over how important something is or what's normal. And most of the time it has to do with your own values. If you look around, you'll see that it's that way most of the time. If you can detach yourself and you observe disagreements, you'll see, you use this system, this 1 to 10 system, you'll see, ruba to ruba, that's what it's about.
Really, you should have yourself so,
you should marry someone with the same point of reference, it would be nice. You know, I remember reading once in the Reader's Digest years ago, I think it was the University of Iowa, they had their first shidduch matching computer. Those times it was still the big computers. Everyone filled in a card and they put in the card and they did matches. It matched 3 sets of twins, brother and sister, to each other. They're perfect matches, you know. Their life experiences were the same, a lot of things were the same. And yet that's not the way shidduchim work, you know, it's not... Nobody wants to marry someone identical to him. So, what should I tell you? There are, between any two human beings, even if there are a million things you do the same, there are at least 10,000 things you do different. And you don't notice the million things you do the same, you notice the 10,000 things you do different. So, Yehei Kavayit Chavercha Chaviv Alecha Kishalach is a job. It's a job of appreciating the kvayt chavercha, the point of reference of your chaver. V'altihi noyech lichas, or lichais. And don't be, you have a vav after the ayin?
No.
That's spelled okay. V'altihi noyech lichais, and don't get angry easily, which is of course the basic rule in life, to stay away from anger. The Rambam says that even though all midas, a person stays in the middle, the mean of the midas, when it comes to gaiva, you don't, because gaiva is the source of all kas, the Rambam says. Gaiva is the source of all kas. A person only gets angry because he's about gaiva, because he thinks he knows better. And v'shuv yom echad lefnei misascha, and do tshuva a day before you die. Of course, the point is that since nobody knows when he's going to die, so you... should always be anticipating and doing tshuva. And warm yourselves by the fire of Talmidei Chachamim, but at the same time have a zorba kachalasa and shloit techaver. If you have interaction with them, be careful with their hot coals that you shouldn't get burnt. Shenishichasa nishichashual. Their bite is the bite of a wolf, of a fox. Vakitzasa rakitzas akrav, and their sting is the sting of a scorpion. And their poison is the poison of a poisonous snake. All the words are like coals of fire. So it's telling you is interact with Talmidei Chachamim, but sometimes when you're too familiar, a person misbehaves. So it's warning you, interact with Talmidei Chachamim, but don't let down your guard. You have to be careful to be mechabed the Talmidei Chachamim.
Is that why
you were so there's a certain level of disagreement in Chinuch about how much of a distance a Rebbe has to keep from a Talmud. It depends very much on society, and it's a little hard. I know that Rav Palm had said once that a sif of some sort, the Rebbeim shouldn't play ball with the Talmidim. You don't belong playing ball with the Talmidim. And there was a certain amount of disagreement or friction over such a comment. I wasn't there. I don't know the context, so I don't know. But he said there has to be a certain amount of. There has to be a certain amount. The question is what amount and at what point. So it's a little hard to say precisely, but at any rate, so these are the points of advice. Now in Reb Chaim Volozhin on the bottom, the first Yehi Kavod Chavercha. What? So that's what Reb Chaim Volozhin is going to do. It sounds like he said five things, right? He said Kavod Chavercha Chaviv, Atinech Lechais, Shuv Yamecha Deisasra, Mischam Gnei Rishon Tzadikin, Chachamim. Sounds like five. So he explains that it's three. Yikvayt chavercha, v'loiti nayach licha is toli b'zeh. And don't be easy to anger, it's the same thing. If you have honor, if you the honor of your chaver is important to you, then you won't, you're not gonna easily get, you won't be easy to anger. It's also one. Know how to warm yourself by the warmth of Talmidei Chachamim, by at the same time being careful. You come too close, you get burned. So three points. And don't get angry easily is one. To do tshuva one day before you die is number two. And the idea of Mischamim, Kedei Chachamim, and Zayi B'Gachalosan is one. The last piece on the Mishnah, Shenishichasan Vakitzasan Lechishasan, Hema Shloisha Devarim Shechachamim Ha'yumanishim. These are remembers to the three powers of Einish that Chazal have. Cherim Shamta Nidoi, different expressions or levels of Cherim. Chodavreim Hu Nezifa Shekal Harbe. Nezifa, when a Talmud saw that his Rebbe was angry at him, so he stayed away for a week. That was called Nezifa. If he knows his Rebbe has tainus on him, so he has to behave humbly and then come back with kavod. So Akoponim, these are the three points of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, the Talmud of Shammai, the Rechem Zakim, but from the Shammai. Rabbi Yeshua made three other points. He said, Ayin Hara, V'yetzahara, v'sinas habriyais, metzias ha'adam in ha'aylam. Now, here, ayin hara doesn't mean somebody else's ayin hara on you. It's talking about the midah of a person who has an ayin hara, or yetzahara. Now, obviously, the yetzahara is an all-encompassing idea. V'sinas habriyais, metzias ha'adam in ha'aylam. Yetzahara means somebody who follows his instinct. Gemara says that when a baby is born, he has the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Tov doesn't come in until you hit Bar Mitzvah. So normally we think of it in the way we grow in yeshiva, that the Yetzer Tov is this winged creature that somehow flies into us and becomes part of us the day of the Bar Mitzvah. I didn't notice a major change in the Bakram between the day before the Bar Mitzvah and the day after the Bar Mitzvah, at least as far as Yetzer Hara. I guess it does get a little better, but not so major. What? Yetzer Tov, yeah. And is it fear? The Yetzer Hara is born with a person. The Yetzer Tov gets a 13-year delay in the contest. This also doesn't seem right. So the understanding, the simple meaning of a Yetzer Hara is this. The idea of a Yetzer Hara is that a person sees only himself. He knows of no other reasons to make any decision. His decision has to do with whatever he wants, whatever he needs. Now, every baby is born that way. It's not evil. It's the nature of a child. When a baby is 6 months old, he only knows his own needs because he's not aware of anybody else's needs. He's not aware of somebody once said that his six-month-old was pulling the hair of his five-year-old. And the five-year-old got angry. So the mother gently explained to the five-year-old that a six-month-old doesn't know that it hurts when he pulls your hair. So the child accepted. The mother was very proud. She walked out. She comes back. The baby's screaming. So the five-year-old says, now he knows. Now, you know, you pull the hair, you know, it hurts. But the point is that the Yetzer Hara is a natural condition of people. When people are born, they have a Yetzer Hara. They only know their own needs. They don't know anything else. So they wake up the parents in the middle of the night. You can't reason with a six-month-old. So as a person grows up, he slowly becomes aware that there are other people in the world, that there are other people around him. And slowly, that's the Yetzer Tov that comes into a person. The idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating a person yashar and understanding other people's needs. Now that is the simple idea of the Yetzer Hara of a person. And of course, the Yetzer Hara is used for what we call the evil inclination. It's used for other aspects of the evil inclination. But this idea of Mitzvah Nesa Adam and Olam comes from this.